We are going to now continue on our series, Words to Live By, which come from the verses given to the those who profess their faith on June 9th. The verse that we're reading tonight comes from, or this morning rather, comes from James chapter 1. Verse 25 was the verse given to Perry Loss at his profession of faith. We're going to read verses 19 through 27 of James chapter 1. As we prepare to read the Word of God, let's ask the Holy Spirit to inspire us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you have given us the rules for our lives, how we ought to live. And we pray that as we listen to your Word this morning, and as we hear it proclaimed, your Holy Spirit will inspire us. Help us to listen with ears that want to hear. Help us to listen with open minds, open hearts. Help us to be shaped by your Word so that we may be the people that you have called us to be. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. James wrote, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts, pure and faultless, is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." This is the word of the Lord. A lot of people like to complain about people that go to church. And the common complaint is that people who go to church are religious, but they're not very Christian. And so religion has gotten a bit of a bad name because people who call themselves Christian often don't live the way that a Christian ought to live. And so the world sees that and says, well, church is kind of pointless. Why bother going to church if it's not going to be reflected in the way that you live? But this doesn't mean that the word religion is a bad word or that being religious is a bad thing. What it means is that people don't really understand what being religious is really all about. I mean, the definition of the word religion is to believe and to worship a higher being and to ascribe supreme importance to the pursuit of that higher being. So religion, according to what it really means, is that the people who are religious are actively trying to be what the higher being, what the God wants them to be. And they pursue God. That's what being religious is all about. Now, Christianity is a religion. Too many people who call themselves Christians do so because they think that it identifies them as some separate religion than, say, Islam or Buddhism or whatever religion you want. It's just this is how I'm different than them. And they identify themselves as this as part of a social structure. And they think that they're Christian simply because they're not the other. When I was in grade school, I went to a public grade school, and I remember asking my classmates if they were Christian or not. And I went around and I asked each one of them, and you know what? Most of them said yes. And some of them even said, of course I'm a Christian. It's a Christian country, isn't it? Yet they had never been to a church, and they had never opened a Bible, and had no idea what Christianity was all about. They claimed to be Christian. See, and this is what gives Christianity a bad name, is people claiming to be Christian, but don't actually know what it means and don't actually do what it means. Christianity is a call to action. It's about doing something. The way Jesus said it, it's about denying yourself, taking up a cross, and following him wherever he leads, no matter what the consequences. That's Christianity. And this is what James is getting at in this part of the letter that he was writing to the Christians in those days. He was describing what it means to be a Christian and commanding the Christians to actually be that. He had just finished describing the fact that we have this new birth because of the Word of God, because of Jesus Christ. And now he goes on to say that we should accept that word, but not only accept that word, but we also have to do what it says and be what it commands us to be. This is what James is telling us, and he told the church so long ago. In verse 19, he writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." James wants us to accept the Word of God, not just as some neat, interesting book, but as something that is vital to who we are. And in order to do that, it begins with listening. How many Christians go to church and zone out as soon as the sermon starts? They like being part of church, but they're really not listening. They will come and they will praise God, but they're not really listening. Now, the funny thing about Christians is that we like people who can speak well. We always praise people who speak well, who have skill and eloquence when they speak. But you know what? Speaking with skill and eloquence means absolutely nothing if you haven't first listened to what God has said. Because God has an awful lot to say, and there are a lot of eloquent speakers who speak with great skill, but they haven't listened to the Word of God first, and they're just speaking. And maybe they're saying some good things as far as, you know, how to get your life in order or how to run your business or how to do a whole bunch of other things. But they are not telling you what the Word of God says unless they have first listened. And that's what we are called to do, to listen to the Word of God. Be quick to listen, James says. I mean, there's an eagerness to wanting to hear the Word of God. When's the last time you got up on a Sunday morning and said, "I can't wait to get to church so I can hear the Word of God"? Or when's the last time you eagerly reached for your Bible because you wanted to spend some time reading it to hear what God says? James says we should be quick to listen, eager to hear what God is saying, because that's how we learn what God wants us to learn. Because if we're not listening, then how do we expect to be able to tell anybody else about what God says? We need to be listening, slow to speak, and, James says, slow to get angry. Now, why would James say that we need to be slow to get angry when he's talking about listening to the Word of God? Well, one commentator says it's because the Word of God cuts through our falsehood, cuts right to our heart. And the reality is, we know that what's there is not good. And so the Word of God is often extremely offensive. And people hear the Word of God, they become defensive, they become angry, they become hostile. And when they become hostile, James says this does no good for the people of God at all, for the righteousness of God. Does no good at all, because all it does is it creates division. And you know what? This is exactly what has happened in the church. People have become divided because they don't want to hear exactly what the Word has to say. They want to change it. They want to make it fit what they want to hear. They become angry, they become divided, and the church suffers because of it. We need to be slow to anger when we listen to the Word of God and recognize, yes, that what he's saying is true. I'm a sinner, and I need to change my life. Things need to be different in my life because this is what God is teaching us. So we need to accept the Word of God. James says, get rid of the filth. Get rid of the evil that is so prevalent in our lives. And accept with humility what God is saying. Because that is the beginning of what it means to be a Christian. To accept that God's word is binding. It's the rule that we need to live by. Which means that not only do we have to listen to it, but James goes on to say, we have to do it. We have to do what the Word says. How often don't you see people who go to church Sunday after Sunday, worshiping God, giving their gifts, singing praise songs, bowing in prayer, then they walk out the door and they look and they behave as if they've never even been here. They've listened, but they don't do anything about it. This is what gives Christians a bad name. When we hear what God has to say, but then don't do anything about it. James says that this is like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you've seen as soon as you walk away. And this is an incredible image that he gives, especially for people like us. Because how many people here have a mirror in their house? Probably everybody. Probably several mirrors in your house. Why? Why do you have a mirror in your house? Well, you might say the mirror is there so that I can shave myself without slitting my throat. True, that's a good reason. But then why do we have a mirror by the front door? I bet you most of you have a mirror right by the front door. Why? Well, because we know that the mirror is there so we can examine ourselves. We can take a quick look. Oh, someone rings the doorbell, quick, make sure everything's okay, right? We do that. We want to make, especially early in the morning, if we wonder we got bedhead. Right? We don't want to answer the door with bedhead, for crying out loud. We want to be able to present ourselves in the best possible way. That's what mirrors are for. What good is it if you go to the mirror, you see that you have bedhead, and you do nothing about it? Why bother looking at the mirror? Or what happens if you go to the mirror, you see that there's a little bit of snot coming out of your nose, and then you just walk away and you forget about it? Right? Well, what was the point? Right? The point of the mirror is that we comb our hair, we wipe our nose, we fix what we see is wrong. That's the point of the mirror. James says that's the point of God's word, to show us what's wrong, to show us how far we've fallen from what God has intended us to be, how much we have failed, how we have stumbled, not to condemn us, but to help us to work toward fixing it. The mirror is the tool that we use to present ourselves in the best possible way. The Bible, the Word of God, is the tool that we have to present ourselves in the best possible way, to fix what needs to be fixed, because we can see what's wrong. This is what James says the Bible, the Word of God, is all about. We need to pay attention and do something about it, because that's what God is calling us to do. Verse 25, well, this is the verse that Perry was given at his profession of faith on June 9th, says, "Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." God's perfect law frees us from the evil and the filth in the world. It frees us from our sinfulness, and it helps us to be the person that God wants us to be if we pay attention to it, if we look into it and do what it says. Because if we don't, that's called hypocrisy. And it's why there are so many people who think that religion is useless, because it doesn't do anybody any good. We need to accept the Word of God, and we also need to do what it says. And we need to become the people that the Word of God commands us to be. Because Jesus Christ did not come to earth to suffer, to be humiliated, to be crucified, to die, just so that we could continue to be just like everybody else. Because if being just like everybody else was okay, Jesus wouldn't have bothered. If being like everybody else is okay, Jesus would have just left us alone, left us being like everybody else. But it's not okay. It's not okay to be like everybody else, and this is why Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus suffered for you so that you could have the possibility of becoming something different than everybody else. We have to be the people that the Word commands us to be. Otherwise, we're doing exactly what the people who think religion is useless are saying. Jesus didn't leave us in our sin, but Jesus freed us from our sin. And so we can be religious to the full meaning of the word. And that meaning is defined there in verse 27, where James says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." This is what it means to be religious. To love Jesus ahead of everything else, and to put other people's needs ahead of our own needs, and to avoid the corruption, the toxic reality of the world that we live in. Because even with all of the glitter and all of the things that seem so attractive in the world, it is toxic because it denies Jesus Christ. And we need to hold ourselves apart from that. We need to stop allowing the world to contaminate us, to pollute us, because it's toxic. That's what being truly religious is all about. Jesus called us salt and light. If you're going to be salt and light, that means you need to be different than the world around you. Because otherwise, you're not having any impact whatsoever. Jesus called us to be these things, and the way to be them is to know what it is that God calls us to do. To know how God calls us to live. So that we can be the people that the Word commands us to be. Later on in the book, James will say that faith without works is dead. Faith without doing what the Word says is pointless. In other words, if the Word and your faith do not change you, then your faith has not saved you. This is what James wants us to understand. We need to become what the Word commands us to be the people that God has made us for. Michael Williams, professor of Old Testament theology, puts it this way. If the spirit of the one who lived to please the Father is living in us, it is inescapable that we will begin to live to please the Father as well by doing those things that bring him honor. If the Spirit is living in us, we need to change. We need to be the people that the Word commands us to be. The Word of God confronts us, and it points out what's wrong. It's like a mirror, letting us see what needs to be worked on. Now, there's a huge problem in the church, and that is a lot of people don't ever look into the mirror. They don't ever read the Word of God. They don't look intently at what it says. So they don't really know what God is calling them to be. But there's another problem, which is just as bad, and that is the Christians who look into the Word of God and then forget what they've seen and don't do what they've been told. If we do what verse 25 says, if we look intently into the perfect law of God, if we remember to do what it says, then not only will we be blessed in what we do, but the people around us will be blessed as well. And the Church of Jesus Christ will make a huge difference in the world. Because that is what we are called to do. Pray with me. Father, you've given us your Word. Often we ignore it, or often we read it but don't pay attention. Help us to listen, to accept your Word as binding for our lives. Help us to do what your Word tells us to do, and help us to be what your Word commands us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.